This is June 12th, and the next meeting will be July 31st, 1994, in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Good morning, Bartholomew.
Well, good morning, my friends.
Good morning.
Can you hear me? I would like to take the events of this morning to begin as a jumping-off place for something that I hope is useful for you. There are various things that are going to, if they haven't already, begun to happen to you. And one of the things is you are going to start losing part of your memory. Now, I don't mean that you're going to all of a sudden become stupid and not remember anything, but you are going to find that things that you would normally have had no difficulty with, you're going to have to start searching. Now, let me explain why. It's not that all of a sudden a great cloud of confusion has descended upon the planet. What is the truth here, my friends, is that things are speeding up. I've told you this since we begun, but now I hope you are really in attendance, close attendance, to this reality. Things are speeding up. I've told you before that you have lived, it will seem to many of you, those of you that have two and three and four wives, that you've lived four lifetimes in one lifetime, who had three and four sets of children. Some are yours, some are not. Some knows where they come from, here, there, everything. All of this is jobs. How rare is it now for you to begin a job and end your life with the same job? Does anybody even think about these things, let alone living and being born in one house and dying in the same house? Do you understand? We're talking about a vast explosion. And as a part of that, as the equipment, if I could use the mental process with that derogatory term, this piece of equipment that you have relied upon, in computer terms, you might not have enough space in there for it. There might not be enough room. I'm telling you this because what part of the necessity is to begin to simplify and to throw out things that are no longer essential to you, to your well-being, to your peace of mind, to your peace of heart. Those things that you have been doing repetitiously for who knows how long, the time is upon you as the acceleration takes place to begin to simplify so that you can use with great wonder and beauty the incoming power, which is, you must admit, things are shifting and changing in your lives. Is that true? It is a very rare life that is just smoothly moving along as some kind of mediocre thing going, you know, to a predestined determination. This is not the way of it. These are explosive times, and explosive times call for calm within. Explosive times, my friends, call for calm within. And all of these years, we have been asking you to become as internally calm as you possibly can, and now you will begin to understand the essentialness of this. When you find yourself frenzied, frantic, too much, can't remember, this, the house begins to get more and more chaotic, your car begins to take on more and more debris, and your mind gets more and more full of chatter and so forth. All of this, on the one hand, might feel exciting and exhilarating. On the other hand, it doesn't provide the necessary calmness that is necessary for you to be in close contact with the moment. Because we have told you and will continue to tell you, the only thing that matters is your close contact, intimate contact with this moment, exactly as it's arising. Now, what confuses that is fear and desire scurry you into the future. You have fears and desires. Those are future-oriented. Or else you have sorrows, recriminations, and guilt. Those are in the past, and that scurries your mind into the past. So most of the time, my friends, you find yourself moving between two unrealities. A past that is finished, and a future that may or may never come to fruition. And you are scurrying between the two polarities, where we ask you to remember that the only safe refuge is in the moment. And in the moment, there is the refuge that you're seeking. I mean this absolutely, totally, and completely. Whatever fears that you have, when you're worried about, I'm just buying a house, and can I make the payment? Well, scurry, 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 future, future, future. Nothing. That is not a reality. Or in the past, remembrances. All of that is a waste of your time. Of course, obviously, if you are contemplating anything major, it takes a certain amount of sitting down, clarifying, looking at the objective clearly at the moment, making the best assessment given whatever you have at the moment, and then dropping. You do not know how to drop out of your misery. And the misery is the scrambling of the mind, rather like one of those yo-yo cords, bungee cords going back and forth, and you let go and they slap you. You have got to realize you need to relax. If I have ever said this before, I say it to you today. I do not care if you are 16 or 116. You need to learn how in the moment to relax into the moment. And you all know the difference between relax and trying to relax. Do you know? Trying to relax. Now, if we make relaxing a problem, trying to relax, then we're back. Then you might as well be trying to figure out the future, trying to figure out what will happen, trying. It's all of this trying that is so trying for you. And I ask you to stop it because it's not necessary. I tell you, we have talked about the moment in many ways. We say that it includes and has as its basic substance what you might call the comforter. It also has the great wisdom that you might be seeking. It also has the incredible, extending, totally magnificent compassion and understanding and love that you're seeking. Everything that you are seeking that your mind has contrived to tell you must be in a future point is already present. I will tell you, my friends, if you look at your spiritual quest, you probably have some kind of an idea that there is a... All right, let me ask you this. Does it sound strange to you when I say, please ask yourself the question, do you know who you are? Now, I want you to ask yourself this question. Do I know who I am? Do I know who I am? Do you understand how silly that is? Do I know who I am? Will I ever find out who I really am? Will I ever find out who I really am? This is who you are. This is it, ladies and gentlemen. You keep saying, no, this is not it. There is a future me, a better me, a more wonderful me, a more spiritual, more delightful, compassionate, marvelous me. This is it. This is it, and the scrambling endlessly in all directions. Where's me? Oh, I've got to contrive me. I'll read a book. I'll become more me. No, I will go on a 2-week meditation. Then I will be more me. No. I will finish with my relationship, concentrate, go to India, go to the Himalaya. Then I will be me. Now, look, there are many of you in this room that have taken drugs. I'm talking about hallucinogenics. You know, the one interesting thing about that is whatever reality you were experiencing, no matter how strange, how beautiful, or frightening, what was the one constant? You were there. You were there. You were there. Whether you liked what you saw there or whether you loved what you saw there is irrelevant. The relevancy is you were there. You are always there. And when you begin to understand that this I that you are scrambling to find and to create and to perfect and make so beautiful is an illusory search, because the fact remains that that I is not what you're seeking. If we could call it, we would call it the me of you. It is the me of you. It is the little me that wishes to be this way, that wishes to be that way, hoping somehow either to catch the attention of some of God. I think that's the big one, isn't it? If I just get glorious enough, bright enough, beautiful enough, compassionate enough, God will notice me. I want you to look directly at these assumptions, because they are the very things that are keeping you from the relaxation into this moment where the I of being is always present. The I of being is constant. The me changes constantly. And this grasping and trying to perfect something that will never be perfected, which is an ever-fluctuating ego base, is what brings the terror and the confusion and the dismay and the hopelessness. People say to me, I'm getting older and I'm getting frightened. And I'm saying, I'm so glad and they become angry. The reason is, there is a hope, if you become older, that maybe you will slow down. And in your slowing down, you just might fall into God. You just might fall into what is always there. The eye of you, the eye of you is constantly there. The scrambling becomes the confusion, which then becomes the reason for living. And then you are sometimes in happiness and sometimes in despair, and you are in and out on this accelerated and decelerating sense of I am good, I am bad. I am making it, I'm not making it. I have money, I'm poor. I. And that I is really the me. And all we're asking is a return to the essential essence of I. Now, what does this mean in practical terms? It means what we have been saying to you for years. It means you have got to just relax without thought into the moment, moment after moment after moment, in between the increments of me. Because if you've watched closely, me has great gaps. Those of you who were at the last intensive, there was a half an hour writing where you were asked to simply write your train of thought. If you want to bore yourselves to death, my friends, just sit down and for... The original assignment was 6 hours. Miss Franklin was kind enough to modify it to a half an hour. But the process is the same. When you sit with nothing there but the flow of your mind and write it all down and look at it and realize, this is how I'm spending my time. This is this... And out of this mess, I imagine I will become a goddess. Out of this mess, I will become a god. Out of this mess, I will become something different. Out of this mess, you will become exactly what is on that paper. Because you have been told before that 95% of the thoughts that you think today, you will think tomorrow. Endlessly, ongoing, ongoing. And you know that your thoughts create your response, and your thoughts create much of your physical reality. And as you begin to understand that that is the difficulty, this, you know, someone says, all right, I'll just think about God thoughts. Well, if you sit around thinking God thoughts long enough, they become as boring, perhaps even more boring, than, let us say, erotic thoughts. Because they are only thoughts. And thoughts about things are not the same thing as the thing itself. Thoughts about a God and what it might be like, and so there's all this, all those are about and have nothing to do with the intrinsic moment which says, right now, somehow, mysteriously, I, who I never deny is present, that I is just the ground in which I can rest. It is the ground that you can fall out of your mind, fall out of your emotions, fall out of your drama. You know, Shakespeare was right, you're all great dramatists. And so what? But finally, the actor and actress becomes bored of the role and decides to simply evaporate back into the self of the moment. And as you begin to understand this total relaxation, it happens all of the time, moment after moment, in the midst of your discussions, in the midst of your driving and eating and whatever it is, you do not stop action. Because this kind of silent dropping within does not mean anything needs to change on the outside. In fact, interestingly enough, at the early stages, it's easier to drop into it when you're busy. Because when you sit down with a very busy mind to meditate, you know what happens. You know, all you are doing is just, it's your thoughts passing in review, just endlessly on. So I'm asking you with all the sincerity, if you want to make it with grace and humor and dignity through the next few years, you've got to silence down inside, peaceful inside, relaxed and open and with as much humor as possible inside. All of this rushing around is pulling you, and as you begin to understand, the most wondrous thing descends upon you, which is the inside delight that no matter what is going on outside of your life, that incredible peace, that incredible I, which is your essence, which is life itself, is constantly present. It is that is seeking. And when you begin to realize that you cannot perfect the ego, that there is no future me that is any more lovable than the present me, Which is a very hard one, isn't it? You have been trained that the better you are, the more God loves you. The better you are, the more God loves you. Now, this is a very curious statement seen from vast consciousness. Because when you hear statements like that inside of you, how do you feel? Do you feel excited? Does it make you happy to think that the better you are, God will love you? Or does it make you a little bit frightened? Does it make you remember all of the things that you think God won't love you for? All of the past and hopefully future things that you may enjoy that God might not approve of? We are back to, you have got to decide the concept of God for you, and you must do it as soon as possible because you are driving yourselves crazy. You are driving yourselves crazy with the incessant, ongoing talk, and thrown in is this hopeless, I've got to be better, I've got to do it better, I have got to become a better X, whatever it might be. All of which is a tremendous diversion of the ego from the simplicity of the I of this moment. And this I, my friends, has absolutely no interest in the coming and going of your ego. It doesn't sit there and applaud you when you're good, and it doesn't frown at you when you're bad. It is simply ever present. It is ever present. And when you begin to know this without an intellectual idea about it, then you begin to participate in the excitement of the quiet of the being of the moment. It's the silent interior in the midst of the active exterior. It becomes the refuge. It becomes that which you have been seeking. It is home. It is that which has been calling you ever since you began this diversified journey into separated consciousness. It is home. And when you begin to trust by dropping out of thought more and more, you will find it. Someone said, I think with very great sincerity, I'm frightened. I am frightened to drop out of my mind. And on inquiry, the answer arose that this person was afraid that if they didn't keep thinking, that their life would get worse. If they didn't keep thinking about how to solve problems, how to take care of this, how to do that, that somehow their life would deteriorate into something much more terrible than they were already experiencing. What we are trying to suggest is the absolute opposite, which is that you think you're, remember the little kid in the back of the car with the little plastic steering wheel? And he really thinks he's steering this car, this little darling in the back with the plastic wheel, whereas in front there is the driver and there is the motor and there is the whatever. And the road itself is already there for this little one who pretends to be driving the process. You have got to understand you are not, the ego is not doing it. Now, how can you test this? So this isn't just big windbag, just lots of wind blowing through a very, you know, lovely day. What? All right, this has been brought to you in various ways. Let's just discuss it once again. You begin by paying attention to those things which are called coincidences. Do you know the word? Oh, I was just thinking about you and the phone rang. What a coincidence. You understand, we could go on endlessly. When you begin to take responsibility for a sweet and gentle and exciting examination of each hour of your life, you know, let's not wait 10 years and look back. You know, let's start now and begin to look for the endless coincidences that just come into you left and right. The moments that your mind could not have envisioned, that your thinking brain could never have thought up. But all of a sudden, there it is. Now, it also happens, and this is what's difficult, is some of those things are less than beautiful, less than wonderful. And so actually what most of you have done is turned your awareness away from any kind of observation because you don't want to see the things that are difficult. I want to assure you once again, every difficulty that you have ends. Every blissful moment that you have ends. All of that ends. There is only one thing that is eternal and does not end, and that is the I of being, which is present as fully in your misery as it is in your pleasure. You do not have to accumulate more pleasure in order to feel God, nor do you have to accumulate more misery. You know, many of you have been brought up with this idea that if you suffer enough, you just suffer enough, then somehow God will awaken in you. And I want you to know, my friends, that you can choose to suffer or you can choose to be blissful. In either way, it has nothing to do with this process. As you begin to awaken that you, ego self, are not in charge, because the ego self cannot possibly have contrived the coincidences which run your life. How could they have conceived of all of the avenues that, do you understand, the turns and the twists and the, good morning, and the wonderful movements of consciousness? How could your little, pardon me, pea brain mind ever experience such a vast tapestry of magnificent fullness? Not all beautiful and blissful. What makes a great novel? A mess. The best novels are full of great messes, you know? They're heroic and they're despairing and they're everything. It's all present. Vast tapestry. Your life is a vast tapestry. It arose as a vast tapestry. And you begin to experience it when you begin to realize that there is a weaver that has woven this tapestry that you are now participating in and joining your energies with. When you begin to realize that you are part of the picture, but not all of the picture, that you are some of the picture, but not all of the creator of the picture, you begin to understand. You begin to let go. You begin to be so fearful. You begin to realize that you cannot fend off the disasters, nor can you fend off the delights. You cannot do it, my friends. You must please come to understand you are not in charge. And for the ego to hear this is infuriating. What do you mean? I can handle anything. Well, except this and this and this and this. And when you can't face it, you say, God, help me. Well, I would like for you to reverse this process and begin now not to say, God, help me, but just to simply relax into being, which is, if you like the word, is God, the self, is constantly present. And it is that energy itself which, when it is in motion, is the primary actor, a part of which you are also the actor. But you are not, excuse me, the major actor in your life. Do you remember? We've spoken like this before. But try to get a feeling for this. At one stage of awakening, you identify yourself as an actor on the stage. It's not that you're acting a part, you are that part. It's not, I am pretending to be Mary Margaret. It is, I am Mary Margaret, boldly myself and making mistakes and all this whatever. And then there comes a moment when it slips in on you, wait a minute. It may be that I'm just acting out a part. It may be that I have been, you know, you talk about this way, play the hand that you've been dealt. And you say, well, it's my karma that, you know, dealt me the hand. Well, I don't care who you think dealt you the hand. You do have a hand to play. And how do you know that? Each one of you is uniquely different from the other with your own set of characteristics. And so that is what you play out in this drama. That set of characteristics, that set of tendencies, that set of being. You are not all supposed to have the same set of tendencies. You know, if you start reading some of these great works, you end up thinking we're all going to be the same. Every one of us is, we're going to, none of us will eat meat, all of us will, whatever your idea is of this perfected person. All we're saying is there is a moment, and many of you in this room have experienced it, when you understand that, you know, there's only so much you can do. There's only so much you can do with the hand you've been dealt, you know? If you haven't got all aces, you aren't going to win the pot, you know? It's just like that. And you awaken to the excitement of, all right, this is what I have been. I don't care how you excuse it, karmically or otherwise. Whatever reason, I am filled now with me. Those tendencies that identify as my me, my little me. And here I am. And I am going to be aware of them and with as much humor accept them. you know, to try to be an opera singer when, you know, they ask you not even to come to rehearsal. You know, it's difficult. But the excitement of realizing your hand contains the cards that you need. Your hand contains the excitement, the personality, the me-ness that is absolutely essential for this vast tapestry. Otherwise, how boring this tapestry would be. It is your unique marvel that is wondrously a part of it. And to finally come to the place that says, this is me. And then you say to people, this is it. This is as good as it gets. If this isn't good enough, then find another friend. This is me. Find another lover. Find another father, a mother. This is me. Do you understand? Do you? There's that let go that says, it's not going to be when you're little, oh, I can be better. You know, I can be the princess of the blah, blah, blah. Finally say, yeah, right. You understand it's not going to work. You understand. And it's this letting go into the, this is me. And instead of incessantly striving to be better, because the trap is this, if I am better, I will get some reward. Now, for some of you, the reward may be God, but that's not the only thing you strive for. Many of you strive to be better so that people will love you more, or maybe a particular someone will love you more. Whatever. That you feel that if you perfect yourself in a certain way, certain benefits will come to you. What I'm trying to tell you, with the exception of the God benefit, all of those benefits are totally temporary and totally unimportant, and they come and go. They come into your life and they go away from your life, and they are not the point. The success of your life does not depend on winning the pot. The success in life just simply lies in the relaxation into this is me, and the humor of that, and allowing yourself to stop searching and attempting to be, you know, if at age 65 you're still looking at Playgirl or Playboy trying to look like that, you're in trouble. Deep trouble. And it's a total waste of time, because who cares in the end? You all end up in the same situation. So when, if you just get off of that intensity of change, relaxing into the moment, and somebody says, oh, but I have to keep trying. How is the planet going to be better? How will we be better people if we don't try to be better? Have you ever tried to be better? Have you ever tried to be better? You walk in, I am going to try to be nice to this person. I am going to be nice. Within 25 minutes, something has taken place. You're blowing up, and it's a failure. Or else you go home with a crashing headache. Whatever is that, you cannot try to be good. You cannot try to be loving. You cannot try. You can just, what? Relax into the moment, and in that momentary relaxation, I will tell you the truth. In that, just letting go of the trying, you fall into the becoming. You fall into the being. You find yourself without trying that you are loving. You find yourself without trying to be patient, to be compassionate, to be less judgmental. Have you ever said, I am not going to be judgmental, especially about you? You know, that it is not something that can be done with the will, to will yourself into non-judgmentalist. In fact, what is absolutely required is the opposite, which is the letting go and realizing the traits that you most identify with and would most like to give to the world as your gift to consciousness are the very traits that are contained in that I that is constantly resting in the moment without the thinking process involved. That's where the compassion, that's where the wisdom, that's where the intuitive knowing of whether to do A or B, the way to move in your life. All of you want a guideline, how to go here, how. It is this intuitive I-ness that is constantly there. Why does it know? Because it's the one that's in charge. You are just giving the reins back to the person who's been driving the team the whole time. You just give back the power. That means you relax into the moment and just stay open. You all know what I mean. You just relax into the moment and stay open. And in that moment, various things come to you. Sometimes peace, sometimes a sense of compassion, sometimes tears, sometimes whatever. But it is this struggling to become instead of stopping the becoming and being the being itself. Everything that you are seeking, deeply seeking, is present in the being of the I. And as you struggle, you will keep on going in all directions, and you will keep yourself confused and busy and in motion, and one day, for one reason or another, you will have to stop, either through death or through something else. And this is why, when people become ill and they cannot move out of the situation, when hope is finished, the doctor has said it's over, that is when the enlightenment comes. Why? Because you can't make up any more excuses. There are no more hopes. There's no more tomorrow. There's no more, well, next time. There's no more, well, I'll try this. It's finished. You are pinned like a moth to the bed, and that's it. And in that being there, just like that, no longer striving, no longer seeking, what has always been present simply lets itself be seen. When the chatter is finished, what has always been there presents itself clearly, simply, without any fuss. That's it. And that is available to you as your birthright this moment. I ask you to consider how silly it is to walk around saying, I'm trying to find out who I am. I'm trying to find me. I'm trying to find my true self. Please, hear your words and understand the futility of that kind of concept. It only leads you into more and more trying, which leads into greater and greater confusion. And then you leap from one kind of trying to another kind of trying. We are trying, we are trying to end all trying. And if that isn't a silly statement, the whole point of these years together have been simply to ask you to stop trying to be what you already are. The only thing that obscures that being is the scurrying of the mind into past and future, scurrying away from the absolute majestic magnificence of what is now. Now. And if you just stop, then the now will reveal its nowness, its essential light, its power. It will, if you'll just stop and look. You save those moments from when you're out in the middle of the trees and the water and so on, or whatever your special moment. My friends, this is it. This moment, in the midst of your life, I hope if your life is a mess, you will use that. Your life does not need to be any way. Whatever it is no better or worse than any other way. That is a promise. What is the difference is the sitting down. And you know, the great ones all talk about it. You know, Christ in his days in the desert, and the Buddha sitting under the Bodhi tree, and Ramana laying down and just feeling that he was totally dying. What did they all do? All that were asking, stop. Keep on going. You know, you love to go and do and create. There's nothing wrong. But in the midst of all that creative principle, there lies at the very core of the creative principle this magnificent, still, silent core of being, which is out of which all of the rest of it explodes. And in that core of being, available this moment, without any fuss on your part, any fuss is there for you. But you're always looking. It's got to be somewhere. It's got to be somewhere. Sometimes in other people, sometimes in the perfect job, or in money, or in health, or in God, some kind of vague idea. It's now. So as these years, and the bad news is that it's going to get worse. I mean, you know, you are in an, we've talked about this before, you are an accelerated pattern. It is as if this vast, wonderful spiral is tightening down to a very beautiful tight point at the base, so that a grand and new explosion can come from that base of that point. But as it torques down, you're going to feel it. And what we're asking you to do is, instead of getting confused and upset and angry at this torquing, to take it as a sign. The minute you begin to feel that way, it's a sign that you are back into the mind, back into trying to figure it out, trying to plot your destiny so that you will have nothing ever bad happen to you. If you would just realize how absolutely, incredibly foolish that is, your life will be what it is. And if you'll just drop out of it... if you'll just drop out into, you know, they talk about this, falling into the arms of God. What does this mean? Just this. In the incredible silence of this moment, there it is. And someone says, well, I drop in and it's blank. Well, I ask you, if you are aware of a blank, there is an I that's aware of the blank. What is this I that is aware of this blank? This I that is aware of the blank, then it opens its eyes, and this I is aware of form. This I opens its eyes and sees this and that and thinks this. There is the essential. Please don't miss it. It is that which you're seeking. The most obvious, the most constant, the most never ceasing is what you have always been looking for. And the joke is, it is what has always been present, fully alive. The only thing that makes you not know that is that in this marvelous clarity, these forms arise. And you become transfixed with the forms. You know, Ramana talks about the screen upon which the movie film is projected. And everybody is staring at the ever-changing figures. Whereas in reality, what is really what you want is the screen upon which they're all play. And when the film is off and the figures are left and finished, what do you see? You see the screen of consciousness itself. It's always been there, but you didn't notice it because of the attraction of the movement of the forms. And forms take mental shape, emotional shape, as well as physical shape. They're all forms in motion. And when you understand right upon which there is something upon which all of this is playing itself out. Every thought plays itself against a background of I. Every feeling of pain is felt by an eye, a background of eye. All of it, this is this vast background. That is what is ever present. And this is what we hope to point to. And this is what we hope you will continue to just drop into. And if you make this another search, you've missed it. Now I have to find my eye. Bartholomew said, go find your eye. I did not say, go find your eye. I did not say, go find anything. I said, shut up and sit down in the middle of your life and let it reveal itself to you. You can't do it. You cannot say, all right, God, I'm ready. Here I am. Reveal yourself. Well, I don't think so. But what does work is that which is no work at all, which is just to relax into the moment with some kind of hope, and for some of you, a belief that there is something there, that there is really something. How do you know there's something? Somebody says, how do I know there's anything there? And I said, do you ever doubt that you're here? There is one thing you absolutely agree on. What's that? That you're here. I mean, that's all you know. I am here. I am present. That is all that's necessary. Just that. And if you can, in your mind, as you hear yourself saying, I am feeling blah, 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 if you can just please go back to the I. And just keep remembering, there's an I here that all of this is playing against, playing upon. Just keep remembering. Simply, I'm here. The I. The difficulty is your fear that if you don't stay attentive, that your life will not go as you wish it to. And we would like to suggest to you that the more moments you can ease away from your drama and rest gently, merging with the I, miraculously, when you arise back out of that, things seem to seem clearer. Then comes the, we could try this. Then comes the, I never thought about that. There's a possibility. Do you know? It doesn't come out of chewing the bones to death. It comes from leaving it. Going back to where all creativity, where all true wisdom lies. And just, and then all of those things which seem so difficult, a new awareness is brought to them. Because as you relax into these moments, moment after moment after moment after moment, they bring the vitality, the wisdom, the clarity, the spontaneity of consciousness itself. Instead of mental, you know, instead of this mental, you go back to consciousness itself. And when you go back to consciousness itself, vast, you see, consciousness is vast. It's everywhere. That's all there is consciousness. And so when you drop back into that, which is past universal, it's vast. When you drop into that, then all possibilities are open. Possibilities that your finite little mind could not possibly have understood. That's the place. Now, not, well, I have to wait till I get everything worked out, then I'll have time. You know, when are you going to get tired enough? When are you going to get confused enough? When are you going to get sick enough? When are you going to get bored enough? When are you going to get whatever enough to stop and realize that you are not in charge? And there is an absolutely magnificent, knowing, wise power that is. And it is very, very willing to reveal itself to you if you will just quiet down and allow it. The idea that a busy life is somehow more alive than a quiet life is one of the great hallmarks of the last few decades. And we are trying to suggest that that's not true. We're trying to suggest that as you begin to look for quiet spaces, you will create ever more quiet spaces. This is so simple, my friends, that I would ask you to ask yourself why, for what reason, you have not touched upon it already. Because it is ever obvious. You are very aware that you are you. You are very aware that you are who you are. And that sense of who you are never changes. You don't wake up and go to a party and say, I wonder which one of this is me. You know exactly which one is you. When will you just relax and pretend? You see, it's this pretense that you don't know. It's the greatest pretense of all. You are pretending to not know who you are. And that is a pretense. That is the ultimate pretense. And I'm asking you to stop. All right, just to conclude then. Do it now or do it later, but you will do it. It is a tremendous gift to have been born and chosen to live now in this time. You've heard this from everywhere. For some reason, some magnificent reason, now more of you have access to the simplicity of awakening than has ever happened on this planet. Now. And you're going to find it everywhere. You're going to find it in all walks of life. People doing the strangest things. You know, a tailor making a coat is going to go, who's making this coat? Someone is making a hat. And she'll say, who's making this hat? And no. It's going to happen everywhere. I'm asking you to stop pretending so that you can be one of those that it happens to. Because if you keep insisting that you don't know, that you have to be different, that it's, you're not good enough, or you're not focused enough, or you're not disciplined enough, this is the best one. I'm not disciplined enough. Well, everybody goes around saying this all the time. I'm not disciplined enough to get God realized. And I am saying, how disciplined does it take to know that you're you? I mean, what kind of discipline does it take to know that you are who you are? I mean, you know who you are. What's the problem? What's the problem? It's very simple. So, quit pretending. If I could say it, it's a vast act of the ego that walks around saying, I can't be enlightened. I'm not good enough to be enlightened. Sucking your thumb, I can't be. That's the ego's great delight. Stop pretending, and what is left? What is left is knowing who you are. That's what's left. Quit allowing the mind to tell you differently. Quit allowing other things to tell you differently and just go on the experience of the moment. Are you there or not? If you are there, then so is it. If you are there, then so is God. If you are there, then so is being, so is self. Where else could it be? Oh, I know, it's at Carol's house. Well, where could it be? In some heaven. In some remote mountain cave. With some wise one. Well, yes, it's there. But guess what? No more so than here. Where could you be but here? Where? But you see this idea that, oh, this can't be it. It's got to be different. It can't be this. What do you mean it can't be this? This is it. This is it. This is it. Not the ego that manifests and changes its mind and does this and does that and blah, blah. Not that. But this ever constant similarity, the sameness of the I that you know to be who you are, that is what it is. How hard is it to remember that? I would say to you, it's far easier to remember your true nature than to keep figuring out all the complexities of your lives. Your lives are very complex, you know? And that is the hard part. The easy part is, am I here? I'm here. I'm here. I am here. In this moment, I am here, and so is agitation, and so is boredom, and so is an endless array of whatever comes and goes. But in the midst of all those arrays, am I here? I'm here. That's all. Too simple? Then make it complicated. But my prayer is that someday, someday soon, someday very soon, that you will quit pretending. Because this pretending is the ego's way of separating. I'm asking you to ask yourself deeply in your being, are you here or not? And if you're not, raise your hand and we'll have a wonderful conversation. I can't imagine what you would be. It's easy. You are here. Fully. Constantly. Totally here. Whether you like being here or not is not an issue. That's your problem. But that you are here, that is not a question. That is a knowing. And it is the only non-conceptual thing that's present. Everything else is a concept. That is a non-concept. You are here. Well, thank you for letting me yell at you. You must be getting tired of this. That's all right. It will be ending soon. But I would like to thank you. But all I ask you, don't believe me. Ask yourself, are you here? Are you here? Wherever you go, there you are. This is why you don't have to worry about dying, because when you die, guess what? There you'll be. It doesn't matter what happens because you are there. And the you that is there is the I of being, is consciousness itself. And that's enough yelling for one day. I thank you all for coming. Those of you who would wish to sit around and do nothing for 10 minutes afterwards, please join us.
Good morning again. I have one last reminder about the August workshop, which will be held in Taos, New Mexico, on August 27th and 28th this year. It is the last summer workshop and will be held again at the Austing House at the Taos Ski Valley. Participants will be staying there on Friday and Saturday nights. The cost of meals and accommodations will vary from $100 for double occupancy to $210 for single occupancy streamside, depending on the type of room available. We will send you a list of rooms to choose from on a first-come, first-served basis as your deposit is received. The cost of the workshop is $175 per person. To reserve a space, send a $75 deposit made out to Vista Grande School to me, Joy Franklin, P.O. Box 2996, Taos, New Mexico, 87571. Thank you.